Gunnar Tarakian looked at the news facts and found it hard to breathe. Mutinies, markets collapsing in all directions, and all he'd wanted to do was work his way up to become a captain of one of the Tarakian ships.
We're free traders. We're unaligned.
Basil Tarakian Juno slouched against the opposite bulkhead.
Not exactly. I don't fancy running off to the Nutex militia. Hazel says...
And that's another thing. Hazel, we're mixed up with her family, which doesn't want to be mixed up with us.
What do we want out of all of this?
Well, we don't want a war, that's for sure. We want a chance to make a living, same as anybody else.
Not the same. A good living. And wars sometimes prosper traders.
Well, yes, when they don't kill them outright. Protection for our property, opportunity, economic stability, so we can depend on credit and currency.
Profits are highest in times of trouble.
Yes, but so are losses.
The question is, which side offers us the best deal?
The question is, how do we define the best deal?
It's not our decision, Gunnar. Our fathers...
won't have to live with the outcome. We will. I'm not going to stand by and see them ruin us.
Kaim is one of us.
Kaim is crazy. We both know that. Yeah, the mutineers are strong now, but they're not the sort of people we want to do business with, not in the long run.
What about,
Basil hooked his thumb and gestured to the far wall.
The Black Scratch? You'd try dealing with the Black Scratch?
Very cautiously, maybe.
Not me. The tongs aren't long enough.
If the Familius comes apart...
It won't if we keep our heads.
We?
All the real people. The traders, shippers, ordinary people.
It struck Gunnar suddenly as ridiculous that he had described Tarakian and Sons Limited as ordinary people. But he didn't let that internal chuckle show in his face. Better if Basil didn't think about that one too long.
Right now, we have a cargo to worry about, customers to serve. Things won't get better if we start playing Doomcaller.
Spoken like someone who wants to be a captain.
And you don't?
I do, but captains always have to think of the long term. And you know, cuz, that sometimes I'm a bit more focused on the short.
That was true, but this was the first time Basil had admitted it.
I'd rather be your second, stay your partner. You steady me down, and I keep you from being stodgy.
I am not stodgy.
Gunnar tried to hide the inner glow that came from Basil's admission that they weren't in competition for the next open captaincy.
You would be if you didn't have me kicking you every now and then. I told the fathers 2 days ago.
We'll make a good team.
We already do.
As they turned again to the manifest display, one of the clerks knocked on the door.
Gunnar, there is a message from the fathers.
Thanks.
Gunnar took the sealed packet, 2 levels below the highest secrecy, and thumbprinted it until the seal peeled back. He stared at the first line and felt his face flush.
Basil!
What is it? Your first ship?
You knew?
I didn't, but Uncle did hint that something nice was coming to you. And did I want to ride your coattails or strike out on my own?
It's the Fortune!
Old Fortune, one of the real prizes of the Tarakian and Sons fleet, had close to the ideal blend of cargo capacity and maneuverability, including an ample shuttle bay and 2 drone cargo shuttles. Gunnar went on reading.
It's Miro. He's developed some neurological condition, and they don't want to rotate captains through the ships in this political crisis. They want to keep people with crews they know and routes they know.
Miro? Did he ever read you?
I haven't a clue. Get off that, will you? People develop shakes and bad memory long before rejuvenation. But what a plum! What a ship! We're taking over Fortune's regular routes, but I have leave to expand or contract them as I see fit. Report acceptance or refusal by fastest secure route. As if anyone in his right mind would refuse this.
Gunnar looked at Basil.
Finish up that manifest check for me, Baz, and I'll go answer this.
The Tarakian Fortune was everything Gunnar had hoped for and more. Miro's crew accepted him readily. The cargo couldn't be better. He couldn't lose money unless he flung it out the hatch. And the first 2 stops went so smoothly that he let Basil talk him into spending several days downside at Falletta, meeting with Tarakian's agents, lunching with local bankers, inspecting merchandise before it was packed up. He found a suitable thank you gift for the fathers and a pendant for Basil's wife. Basil came back from his own forays into the local markets to suggest an evening at the theater.
I'm not going to sit through one of those acrobatic noise festivals.
It's not that. It's something you'll like.
Really?
Brides of the Mountains. It's a really good company, too.
Out here in the sticks?
Come on, Gunnar. It's better than sitting in the hotel doing nothing.
The curtains opened on a stage set for the traditional drama Brides of the Mountains, a peasant village with peasant men lounging around pretending to hold agricultural implements as if they knew what to do with them. The backdrop was painted with purple mountains that looked like nothing on any of 100 planets. Gunnar nudged his cousin.
Even I know more about the scythe than that fellow on the left.
Shh! Just wait.
The peasant women entered, brilliant shawls around their shoulders. Then they opened out and revealed the most beautiful woman Gunnar had ever seen. Rich red-brown hair. It might be a stage wig, of course, but it moved so naturally. Lush figure, though of course it might be the costume. She seemed to be looking straight at Gunnar. He was too old to have this reaction, but his body paid no attention to his mind. All through the first act, in which the men left on a dangerous quest and the women of a neighboring village came to visit, Gunnar argued with himself. In the second act, as the women of the two villages changed places to follow and test their respective suitors, Gunnar thought he had himself in hand. Bethania Vinagaro. He had glanced at the program in the brief interval between acts, was a well-known actress and singer, and of course, she wasn't looking at him, not him in particular. Probably every man there felt she was flirting with him alone. Maybe she was. During the dance sequence, he tried to fault her dancing. That blonde was more nimble. That brunette had a wider smile. The long interval between the second and third acts found him silent. He could feel Basil's gaze, but refused to meet his eyes.
What do you think of her?
Who?
Basil grabbed his elbow.
Her, you idiot! Bethia! Isn't she gorgeous?
Gunnar pulled his arm away.
She's an actress. She's got to be. Are you thirsty?
Gunnar headed for the refreshment booths. When they both had drinks in hand, Basil backed him into a corner.
She's coming with us. Actually, the whole troupe is. They're worried about the borders.
An acting troupe?
They'd rather perform here than there.
Basil jerked his head to the side where, Gunnar supposed, he'd already determined the benignity to be.
So you pointed me out as a Tarakian?
Which meant she had seen money and influence and maybe competence. Those glances had been directed at his position, not at him.
No, but she does know my face. Why? Did you think she was looking at you?
No.
In the third act, with the crosstalk between faithful and unfaithful lovers and their various temptresses, Gunnar tamed his wayward heart and put his mind to considering just how the troop and its supplies could best be packed aboard the ship. Again, she seemed to be looking at him. At Basil, he reminded himself. And again, he could not help responding.